Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's not Joe. I am Jeremy. It's Jeremy and Joe. Will Kunkel. I'll fill Joe's seat eventually. Brian's here as well. Lots to get to. It's a getaway edition. Getaway edition of Jeremy and Joe on this Friday. So our normal Friday show, Bad Take Boulevard. We'll do a little bit of Mailbag Monday. We'll do that. NFL stuff. Kyler Murray's going to go to the Minnesota Vikings. That's pretty interesting. And then also Titans fans and Texans fans are at war today. We'll get to that. I forgot about that guy. That guy's one of my least favorite, actually. Not a big fan of that guy. How do you feel about that guy, Brian? Big fan of that guy?
I don't know the man. Don't know the man, to quote our drop. You know the man?
I mean, I only know him from the three-second drop that we play all the time.
I
feel like that's more than enough of a sample to draw.
So you say you don't like him because you don't respect his bars, basically?
Yeah, I think it's a fair enough conclusion. I don't even know how he treats his pets or his children or his wife or his friends or anything like that. All I need to know is how he raps, and if he doesn't rap good, then I don't really like the guy.
Rap well.
Doesn't rap good.
Yeah, Superman does good. He doesn't rap well.
Crypto's not doing so hot today.
No.
Seriously. Just looked at my.
Will Kunkel's here, by the way.
Is he?
He's sitting down now.
Very loud. Good to see you, Will.
I wish I could see you.
Well, I mean, I have the computer up.
I'm getting it up. Whoa! I'm getting
phrasing.
It open.
So it's gonna be one of those shows, I guess,
opening
today,
it up.
Where you got a bunch of immature children that I'm working with. How was the show yesterday? Everything go okay?
It was the best it's been in a long time. I'll say that.
That's valid. Lots to get to today. We always start with the lead story in the city. In the lead story of the city, Houston Cougars winning a basketball game yesterday over BYU. The new betting favorite, A.J. DeBonsa, to be the number one pick in the upcoming NBA draft. He and Darren Peterson have kind of been yo-yoing back and forth. Houston will get Darren Peterson today. And we'll get to the Big 12 floor here in a little bit. But, Will, I don't know if you know this or not, but we'll spring it on you. You're good on your feet, so I don't have any hesitation to do so. Top three takeaways from the Houston Cougar victory over the BYU Cougars. Always have to be careful saying that. Hit us with number one of the top three, Will.
They are vulnerable to players that can get to the rack well, like DeBonsa. That was my biggest takeaway from that game.
Not many A.J. DeBonsas in college basketball.
No, they're not. But we kind of talked about this yesterday. Like, you really start to parse the hairs when you're fighting for a championship. Like, we're not talking about, hey, this is how they get to the Sweet 16, got to play good defense. I mean, you really start to fine-tune stuff, and I think that's been a weakness of theirs because they don't have that rim protector like they have in the past because JoJo often isn't on the floor, and, he hasn't had the kind of season that he had last year. They missed Juwan Roberts, so they're just a little bit more vulnerable in that aspect than they have in the past.
Okay. Yeah, I would push back on the Tugler, not a rim protector, but then you threw
no,
him
he
when he's on the floor.
And just
so
saying he's not
fair.
There enough to, like, always be the guy.
Yeah. Foul trouble has plagued him. There's no doubt about that. All right, that's a sound one. Hit me with takeaway number two.
Takeaway number two is that Kingston can go back and forth with anybody. Like, he can trade blows, and he can go back and forth and be that guy. It's just a matter of whether he gets the help enough to, go on to win whatever game.
Yeah, it seems like he has a knack for the moment, too. Like,
yes.
BYU hit the three, made it a three-point game. He responds. He doesn't take many threes, but, critical moment, clutch moment, takes a three, bangs in a three. That's a good one. All right, third takeaway, Will.
Third takeaway is, I think this is really hot seat right now. I think it's that this team plays in the margins more than we would like to admit, and certainly more than last year. For instance, that screen that JoJo, not to pick on JoJo again, but to set that screen at the top of the key the way he did, like, that can't happen at his stage of his career in that moment. You can't have that stuff, and it almost, not that it almost bit them, but it was a big play in a game that you would think that Houston's a significantly better team than BYU.
Yeah, I mean, he can't have the silly fouls. Like, you can live with a dude, like, fouling because he's going up to protect the rim or he's fighting for a rebound. The ones that are 30 feet away from the basket, your legs get wider than your shoulders, you're reaching in, stuff like that.
Your hip flares out.
Yeah, that's where the frustration is. They're like the yep. silly fouls. You can live with the, you know, he's hustling, he's playing hard, but then the little silly fouls, that can be aggravating. Yeah, that wasn't a really good decision by JoJo. He'd be the first one to tell you that. Brian, do you have three takeaways?
Yeah, I can give you a few more if we have time for it.
Oh, look at Brian flexing. I got Brian. More than three takeaways. I got four takeaways for you.
I got takes for days.
Oh, wait. Am I done? I had like five or six more, I guess. You're up then?
Okay. Well, we usually limit it to three, but Brian likes to have three, and then he likes to add a few more because
I like
chat,
to tell Jeremy that I take notes so he could then point out that I told him that I take notes.
Oh yeah,
I like Joe's. What was it? Was it Joe doing UH the other day? It was hilarious.
Joe doesn't watch them. Joe just like
no
makes
kidding.
Stuff up. He's like, they turned it over too many times. It was nine.
He clearly went to the box score. He's like, nine was too yeah. much, and I thought he was talking about a player, and then he's talking about the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Too many turnovers for Joe's standards. What do you got, Brian?
Obviously, the first half was like the band's Rob Wright show. Like, I think there was a point where they had scored like 24. 26 yeah. BYU points in the first half, but Cougars really tightened up in the second half on DeBonsa, held him to 3 of 10 shootings. So good job adjusting there in the second half.
Tightened up,
yeah. There it is. I didn't even mean to say that. But.
That's what they did.
I did 6-7 a couple times yesterday.
You did. You also brutal. Called yourself God yesterday.
That's such a... It came out poorly. I will say that. It just wasn't what was meant.
What was the context on that?
I said... The Lord is with you. You know, they introduce you and Joe and Jeremy and blah, blah, blah. And I came out and I said, no, the Lord is with you. No. And I meant to, and I caught myself and stopped my sentence was the worst part. And I was like, the Lord's with you. That you have no Joe and Jeremy today. I am here. And it was like, well, it wasn't me being here. It was more them not being here.
You just didn't really come out the way that you wanted
at all.
To. Yeah, that happens to be every other word. All right, Brian, what's your second takeaway?
I thought Sacco, an underrated game. Like he didn't have a ton of things that will show up in a box score, but he had a couple of really big moments. When, like BYU went on that run into the first half. He had that and one. Kind of an improbable and one to make the score at halftime feel a little bit better and kind of maybe curb some of the momentum going into the locker room. And also you had that play where I don't know if it was considered a turnover or like a block, a steal, but he had that play where he was guarding DeBonsa. Like DeBonsa was kind of like in between trying to put up a shot over him and ends up like losing the ball and not getting a shot off. So I thought Sacco showed up. Even though not huge in the box score, he had a couple really big moments.
Celebrating Ramadan, too. I don't know if that's the right word for it, actually. Honoring Ramadan. Can't eat during the daylight hours. So, you know, dealing with that, too, which Hakeem never really had much of an issue with. But, yeah, that was a good defensive stand. That three-point play I thought was big, too, because BYU had all the momentum. They were up by 7. You know, you get the final shot. You really like to finish the half with a bucket. You don't really get a great look, but Sacco's there for the putback, and he knocked down the free throw. You know, not a great free throw shooter. Knocked down the free throw. Turned a 7-point deficit into a 4-point deficit, and then Houston kind of controlled the second half. So I think that's a good call. Good game-recognizing game there. All right. Takeaway three.
Opposite side of that, rough night for Emmanuel Sharp. Was not shooting the ball very well. It really struggled all game. Like, he's always one of those guys that feels like he lives on the edge of, oh, no, don't take that shot. Oh, went in. But last night, it was all the shots not going in. I think he was 1 for 8 at one point. I stopped looking at his stat sheet after that. But not a good shooting night from Emmanuel Sharp. Thankfully, his teammates picked him up.
Yeah, 1 for 9. So only one more miss after when you stop paying attention. 1 for 6. The area that I will give him credit for, though, we'll give him some credit. Despite a poor shooting night, he was 10 for 10 from the line whenever you had to steal the game from the line. I think 6 of the 10 came whenever you were trying to ice it. So give him credit for that. I would give him credit for that. But you're right. Below his standards, for sure. Did y'all have others? Did y'all wanted to get to? Y'all flexing. Y'all had more than three.
Yeah, Will, you want to go next?
Oh.
Or was he just
kidding? Oh,
BS. Pardon me. I think just the overall takeaway is that this is a Cougars team that is in, I said this yesterday, is in kind of the third tier when competing for a national championship this season. And I don't know that you're allowed to agree with that, Jeremy. But I think that Duke and Michigan are significantly better, Arizona and Florida as well.
So what are your tiers?
Michigan and Duke are one, Arizona.
Oh, interesting. You have Arizona outside of that top tier?
Yeah, I think they're just below.
I would disagree with that. I think Arizona's there. I think they're really good.
I think they're really good too. None of this is me saying none of these teams aren't good.
Duke's without their point guard too for the rest of the year, probably,
they are.
With that broken foot. So I think that you know, obviously hurts them.
But they still got that guy Boozer. I've heard he's
good. But his brother can't shoot, so they're like packing the paint now. We'll see. They have to make some adjustments. Florida State gave him a run yesterday.
BYU gave Houston, I don't know.
Right.
These tournaments.
That's a bit of a straw man, though, because we're talking about, like, Duke's ability to win the national championship specifically.
And Houston's.
Right. But we were talking specifically about Duke.
Well, I was talking about all of those
tier.
Five.
Sure. But we got into the Arizona belongs in the top tier.
Fine. Put them in the top tier. That's fine with me. Florida right below it, and then Houston below that.
Yeah, I haven't watched much of Florida. I actually watched their game today.
They looked good
Kentucky.
Today.
Yeah, they allowed Kentucky back in it a little bit. Apparently, their weakness is they don't make threes. They're not a great 3-point
shooting
team.
Florida's not. You're right.
Jimmy Dykes was saying that was their weakness. I think Houston has potential to play to a tier one level. I think with their youth that they haven't sustained that level, but I think that they could have blips where they play up to that tier. The thing is going to be, can they consistently do that? Can they do that when it matters? And I think those are all fair points for sure.
And I think this year they're more matchup dependent later in the tournament than in years past, or at least last year. Like last year, I think we knew that they were typically the best team on the court, and we knew what we were going to get from them night in, night out. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to get that. And I know we had that Purdue game, but like they waxed Tennessee in the Elite Eight. I mean, embarrassed them. And then went toe-to-toe with probably what a lot of people thought was the best team was Duke, and then ended up winning that game. So, I just think this year it's a little bit more matchup-dependent, particularly earlier like the Sweet 16 Elite Eight matchups.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't really have a pushback to that. Bryno?
Yeah, a few more. I haven't liked how at times it feels like Uzan has maybe been less aggressive than he could be, and it was obviously highlighted by that moment. I think there was about 2.5 left in the second half where they had a 3-on-1. He had McCarty and Sharp both there sitting like ready to take a pass and put the ball in, and he for some reason pulled it out. I guess he was trying to run clock. I don't know if he said something after the game, Jeremy, as to why he did that. It looked like on the broadcast he was apologizing to his teammates the next time they're all over the bench during a timeout, but it was a weird decision there from Uzan to pull the ball out there instead of just get the bucket and go up 8.
No, I think you hit it. You hit it. He was trying to bleed the clock, and I think he recognized it in the moment, too, that it wasn't the best decision because you could have gotten an easy
bucket. Especially since
they
didn't get points out of the possession.
Yeah. No. It was – I didn't see any comments of his after the game. I'm not sure he was asked about it, but he was, like, patting his chest after the possession. Like, hey, that was on me. That was my bad. He did take the second most shots of anybody on Houston yesterday. So the aggression thing, I don't know if I agree with. And it's also been a point of emphasis for them after that three-game losing streak of, like, hey, Milos, you're one of our better players. Start being more aggressive, and he has been. So I think it's a fair critique maybe before or during that three-game losing streak, but I think they've made a very focused effort to try to get him more involved.
What has he been? Because I've noticed that too, his timidness at points through the season. Whereas last year, he was he was vehemently involved with LJ, with Jawan, with Emmanuel. This year, he seems a little bit more timid at times.
Well, I think it's the fact that he's probably playing off ball more, right? Like, he was the true point guard on last year's team.
Yep.
Cryer and Sharp, not point guards. Jawan needs a point guard to get him the ball, whereas this year's version of the Houston Cougars, Kingston Flemings, dominates the basketball. So I think it's, by default a little bit. But you look at the shooting numbers, he's been double-figure shots in every single game since that three-game losing streak. So it has been a point, like, hey, Milos, like, let's try to be a little bit more aggressive. So I think it's a fair point. I just think that they've tried to get him to shoot the ball more, and he has. He has shot the ball more.
Good.
Yeah. One more question. I wondered if you noticed this, since you were obviously like right there on top of the action with your position next to the court, but the TV broadcast kept mentioning that things were getting chirpy between BYU and Houston. I didn't really see any of it. Yeah, like there weren't any technicals that I remember. I didn't see any instances of guys getting each other's face, but like repeatedly, not just once or twice, like three or more times, the broadcast kept mentioning, yeah, the guys are getting chippy. The second half, Wills is going to be a little tighter.
Really?
Yeah, like over and over again. It was very odd, and I kept thinking, watching, like, I don't see anybody going, you know, face to face, or I don't see hard fouls. I don't see technicals being called. I don't know what they're talking about, but I didn't know if they were hearing something like that the TV mics weren't picking up that I couldn't hear, but they were hearing it courtside. So I was curious if you heard anything courtside that indicated they were getting chirpy with each other.
I didn't watch the TV broadcast. But from what I saw, I didn't see any of that. I mean,
that's the way it came off to me. But game. I thought maybe I was missing something for not being courtside.
No, I didn't. I didn't notice anything. No, to me, it was just a physical, you know, Houston game and a team trying to match their physicality. But I didn't know. I didn't notice anything. The only time maybe was the Tugler dunk when he dunked it on somebody's face and he kind of like, you know, barked a little bit. But I mean, also you dunk on somebody, usually that's a natural reaction. I didn't notice that. No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was weird because it kept being harped on over and over again on the broadcast.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know.
Can we talk about Fran's what my boy though? Now, though?
We're gonna get Fran on the air next week.
Oh,
he
nice.
Send you his number. Yeah,
I miss him on the call
because that's your job. He won't be on the call tonight.
I know, I missed him.
He won't be on the TV call tonight or tomorrow. They're having Billis and Shulman.
What did we ever find out why? I mean, Billis and Shulman are awesome, but I just tie them to ACC.
I think it's just their top crew. They just put their top crew at the Big 12 tournament and.
They were on ESPN 2, though, last night, and they had the ACC on ESPN, so it doesn't really – like, the decisions don't match up.
Yeah, maybe it's the travel thing, though, because, like, I think both of the Big 12 games tonight are on ESPN, if I'm not mistaken. I know Houston is. I think Arizona is probably as well, and then tomorrow's championship's on ESPN. So, I don't know. I'm not making the decisions over there. Yeah, you want to talk about the floor. Let's talk about that next. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get to that when we return. I think the Texans are babying C.J. Stroud. I have example of it as well. Titans and Texans are clashing. They're battling on the internets. They're saying mean things to one another. Bad Take Boulevard. We'll get to a mailbag Monday a little bit later. Also, Yordan Alvarez. Is he lazy? Some people think so. 713-780-ESPN. Can't blame the guy. Having a little cold beer. A little cerveza. 713-780-3776. We're on YouTube, ESPN Houston. We're on Twitch, ESPN 975. YouTube. We're on YouTube as well. I already said that. You can watch us on YouTube, ESPN Houston. You can watch us on TikTok. You can watch us on Twitter, ESPN 975. Twitter, I mentioned ESPN 975. Will, is it Will Kunkel V on Twitter? Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Let's talk about the Big 12 floor, the glass floor that will be no more. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe featuring Will on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. It's March, baby. March is the best. March is awesome. You get the brackets. Brackets come out in a couple of days. Isn't that going to be fun? But also, NCAA March Madness is coming to Houston. Attendance encouraged, passion mandatory. Get your tickets now at ncaa.com/MBB tickets.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.
A ghost, I was alone. Touching, kiss again. Given the throne, I didn't know to believe. I was the queen that I meant to be. I live two lives, try to play both sides.
It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
No Joe today. Will Kunkel in for Joe. Get ready. Bracket Madness is coming soon. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Golden Nugget Lake Charles, and our supporting sponsors, Two Creeks Crossing Resort and Republic Food Company. On the Twitch, Not Caught is saying, don't sleep on Iowa State. I like that team. That team's put together nicely. Lipsy, Momchilovic, Joshua Jefferson, they're loaded. Florida still has a sick front court. They do. They're really good. I mean, they're going to be one of the top four seeds. Probably the number one seed in the South that's coming to the Toyota Center. Very interested to see the two seed is in the South. Another junkie felt a little on-air tension between Jeremy and Kunkel. That's just our prevailing tension. That's nothing different. That's
lucky
just
he's
how
not
we talk
here.
To one each other. Yeah, what would you do? Stare deeply into my eyes?
brush shoulders in the hallway without looking at each other.
Bump shoulders and mean mug each other. Junkie, fire the DJ. Jordan is not lazy. You think he is. You're just a dang hater. Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later because there were some things being said about Jordan.
He just said things about stuff.
Yeah. Can you believe it?
Typical Houston.
Can you believe that sports people are saying sports things about sports? It's crazy. The totally peeling back the curtain, though, is I love how fired up people get about it. Like, we'll get fired up and be excited and, you know, have arguments and stuff like that. But, like, people get really, really mad when people have different sports opinions than others, like, to the point, like, they want to beat them up and stuff. It's like, bro, it's sports.
Down, boy.
Junkie, don't ever give BMAC the ox again. I disagree. I think BMAC is doing a fantastic job. Ryan, you can cut the sexual tension with a spoon. Between who? Kunkel and BMAC? Maybe. Second day with each other. That might be it. 75, I love college.
Is that why
chip
you have
week.
This talent, this candle lit?
Yeah.
He likes
that
the
might
wax.
Be why. Sets the scene. 713-780 ESPN. Likes the setting to be nice. Big 12 basketball floor. They went with the ABS glass, little rubber coating. I've walked it. I've walked it a little bit. I wanted to see what it felt like and stuff. Well, I really wanted to like the court because I think it looks awesome. I really do. I think it looks really cool. I think the stuff they can do on the court looks amazing. I think it's really, really neat. I really wanted to like this, and I saw Brian's had this note in the rundown since, like, Monday saying, like, the Big 12 floor sucks. And I really, really wanted to be contrarian and argue with him, and I probably would have done it if this conversation came up before watching a full game and calling a game on this floor. But after watching that game yesterday, even during the game, I'm like, ooh, this is not great.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. It's a joke. It's a gimmick. It's your Eastern Washington red football field, your Eastern Michigan gray football field, your Boise State blue football field, and then you do that. Like, you're arguably the premier college basketball conference in America with the best teams playing on the biggest stage, and you roll out a gray floor, dude? Like, it's embarrassing. It just looks
like
trash.
That's what you're upset about, the gray? You're not upset about the slippage? You're upset about
it being
gray?
Oh, that's part of it. I'm just talking about the optics is stupid, let alone the fact that it plays poorly. It's like, holy crap. Like, are y'all this dumb? It's just an unnecessary move to make for the Big 12. This isn't the whatever the Mountain West trying to draw attention to itself.
Right.
I think that's a really good point. Hold on. I think that's a really good point. The one thing that, like, I would push back on a little bit, and again, I don't like the floor. I don't mind the innovation. Like, I don't mind trying something risky. I don't mind trying something that everybody's talking about. That part I'm okay with. I'm okay with somebody taking a shot. I'm okay with somebody being, like, brave. Now, would it be better served in a, you know, Mountain West Conference, Conference USA? I think that's a totally fair point. Now, the one area that I will tip my cap to Brett Yormark and will admire from Brett Yormark, he wasn't stubborn about this thing. Like, this was his baby. This was his big reveal. This is something that everybody's talking about. He's like, yes, this is going to be great. And then he takes some, you know, opinions that he respected. He's like, you know what? You guys are right. Let's pull the plug. Let's change it now. So I actually respect the heck out of that decision.
I couldn't agree more. Like, I think that says a lot more about him as a commissioner than it does about the poor decision initially. I can live with a poor decision, generally speaking. It's, can you adapt off of the poor decision? How do you react to that? That I'm going to judge you more crucially. I just think, like, it should never have gotten out of the boardroom to implication in the Big 12 in the first place. Like I said this yesterday, and you can maybe disagree or agree, but the optics of watching a game, you want to watch a game on your 4K, 1080p, we have all these colors, and you're like, gray. Yes, let's make the screen gray. You can't watch.
Why do you care about the gray and not the slippage?
Because it looks like crap. I mean, the slippage became like later. Like, that became like the day two when Kansas State's kid talked about it. It was like, this court's actually bad. It's not even just looking bad. It's actually bad, which, okay, even worse. Which is why I think they nixed it. If the K-State kid, and it wasn't a bad floor, they wouldn't have nixed it. It still looks bad, and it's horrible. It's just so unnecessary for the premier conference in America.
Yeah, I just think it's basically bad on both. Like, I agree with both of you. I thought it was bad because the court didn't play well. Like, I lost count of how many times guys were slipping and getting out of bounds calls on them in the corner last night.
BS flag.
What's that?
BS flag. You were counting how many times they slipped?
No, I said I lost.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Successful challenge.
I see what you're saying.
Successful challenge.
It's a phrase.
Successful challenge.
I did take a few notes, like, oh, out of bounds. But I didn't actually, like, count. Like, one, two. I wasn't Paul Heyman counting.
Said you lost count.
Yeah, okay. It's just a phrase. Settle down. But, like, I thought it both played poorly because of that aspect with the slippage. And then the guy, I think it was K-State, Will, you said, who talked about getting a migraine from the court. So it played poorly there. But I'm also with Will on the color. Like, it's all the colors you could go with, and it's gray. It's gray.
It doesn't play well on TV.
Not like, to mention, like,
this is all about TV. It's all about the TV deals. It's all about the money in TV, and you get where all your money's coming from, you make it look the worst.
Especially since, like, the idea of, like, lighting up and showing things in the court has been done on hardwood courts for, what, a decade?
I don't have a hard time finding the three-point line. I'm good. I got it.
Like, I know the idea with going with this innovative court was to be able to take what they could do graphically and take it up even another level, but we've seen with pregame intros for college teams, for NBA teams for a decade now, them being able to display video footage on a hardwood court. Like, I just felt it was unnecessary. Obviously, it was a poor playing surface. And why'd you go with gray? Like, it was just all of the above was terrible.
Yep. I heard that you liked it, Jeremy, until they took it away because you had to back it as a member of the Big 12.
I didn't. I thought it looked really cool. I wanted to see how it played and how it looked.
Like, where?
Well, I mean, like, the graphics and stuff. Like, the gray stuff,
it didn't look cool, but what it could do was cool.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yes.
Okay, I'll agree with that. It is neat, like, what you can do, but do it pregame, do it postgame, do it halftime. You, like, utilize it when, you know, there's no basketball being played and no one's watching. Do it then.
Yeah, I'm not as strongly against the gray as you guys are, but at the same time, it's not, like, I'm not dying on that tell's hill. Like, I get it. I see your perspective. I don't really have a strong opinion the other way. You don't really notice it as live as much, so maybe that's part of it. Like, maybe if I watched it on TV a little bit more, I would feel stronger about it.
I get that because your eyes, if you're sitting baseline where you are, your eye line is into the player.
You don't
not
even really
the
see
court.
The floor. Yeah. I don't really see
on
the floor.
On TV, it's obviously the players are on top of the court from your point of view, and it's only the thing you can see. And it just doesn't, like, it depending on the uniform color, like a dark, like purple, like K-State, for instance, it doesn't play well. You can't follow it.
It's funny too, the Brian's point about, like, all the stuff you can do on the floor. Like, you can do that at the Fertitta Center. Like, that stuff exists.
Right?
At the
like
Fertitta.
It's so unnecessary.
Like, you don't have the ability. Like, I thought it was really cool. Again, all before the game stuff, I thought it was really cool that you could change the floor to any arena, like in college basketball. In this case, the Big 12. Mm-hmm. But is it practical? Not really. And walking on the floor too. It kind of gets the feel of an all-purpose court. You ever played on those all-purpose courts?
Hate,
you know, it's kind of rubbery.
I was going to ask you, is it that rubbery feel?
Yeah, it kind of feels like that. But then they have, like, these little itty-bitty, like, I don't even know what they are. They're kind of like I think it's there for, like, grip. But you can kind of
like
feel
the tires
a little
and the
bit
turf?
Of a bump. Yeah, a little bit. Slightly. Like, there's a little bit of, like, a bump where you can feel it. And I think it's supposed to be for grip, but it doesn't really work. And then the panels, too. What's weird about it, you have those panels, right? And then you have, I'm sure it's not caulk, but it looks like caulk. You know what I mean. Don't be a pervert. So you put the stuff in between the panels, and it's very uneven. Like, you can feel a little bit of, like, you know, the wedge a little bit. It's very
like, it had seams?
No, it definitely has seams because these panels are, like, I don't know, like maybe 4x4, 5x5. In fact, whenever we went to shoot around, one of them broke underneath, so they were pulling it off. Like, they pull it off kind of the same way you pull off a windshield,
is
right?
Is it a computer
you get those little grippy
underneath?
Things.
Like, is
yeah,
it kind of.
It's basically a giant iPad, and then they over the top they put, like, this see-through rubberish all-purpose court.
The
type
rubber's
of stuff.
On the caulk,
but they're panels, right? Like, they're panels, so you get, like, the little, like, safe light auto repair stuff, and those little safe-like, like, you know, those things that look like the curling stones, and you put it on the thing, and then you twist it to get the
yeah,
grip.
Yeah, to pull. Like, yeah, I guess like what they use to remove glass windows, like
yeah,
it,
so,
it
yeah, exactly.
attaches
oh, yeah.
and you yeah.
So they have, like. They have, I don't know, 25 of these on the floor. They're like 4x4 blocks that you can peel off, you know, piece by piece. So in between each one of these panels, you have to caulk it. That way you don't have this, like, little itty-bitty gap in between the two
itty-bitty,
you know, square
that's,
4x4, 5x5s. Mm-hmm. So it's, it's weird. And again, I would have been okay with it if the players weren't like on ice. Like they could not get their grip, couldn't get their footing. The one that I noticed the most was Emmanuel Sharp. Like Sharp was on the floor all night.
He doesn't all play that night. Way either. It's not his. Like, he's not like a guy that's always on the floor.
He'll go to the floor, but not
He'll
because he
go
slips,
to it. But right,
you know
that's what I mean. He's not like he's not one of those guys that just is always on the ground.
Right. And I don't want to make the like. I don't think that's why he had a poor shooting night. But I mean, it's like he was on skates the moment he walked there. So I'm glad that. But they made the decision to remove it. I do admire that they did that.
Yeah, I think that's. I cannot harp on that enough because a lot of commissioners and their ego and their pride get in the way of decisions like that, and they try to double down, and it's silly. So kudos.
All I know is the SEC would never have a gray floor, says a junkie. Maybe that's why maybe that's why the top conference in all of college sports. You forgot a why there, junkie. The old
junkie?
Boston Garden had the coolest wooden floor. Remember, it was almost wooden checkerboard, too cool. That was awesome. You remember that?
It just means more.
Would you trade the Rockets first and second? And Jabari and Reed Shepard for the number one pick to get Dabonsa? Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, whoa, I had to readjust there. What's
the
option?
Would you trade the Rockets first and second, which I don't think they don't have a first, but let's just say two future first, for and Jabari and Reed Shepard to get the number one pick?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Without a shadow.
So you're basically trading one player in Reed Shepard.
That's not nice. Jabari's just a fine role player.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not saying he doesn't exist. I just mean I'm good. We're good.
No, I would do that in a second. You know who DeBonce's favorite player is?
Jabari doesn't offer
Durant, I assume?
Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant. Whatever. All right, 713-780-ESPN.
Wait until
Titans.
Durant talks about him in a group chat.
They've met. I think he likes him. He doesn't call him the R word like he calls Jabari.
Until
remarkable. What was the R word that Ben DeBoe used, Brian? Was it remarkable?
I don't recall.
Yeah, Ben DeBose used a different R-word to describe Jabari and didn't fool me. All right, 713-780-ESPN. The Titans have new uniforms. Titans and Texans fans are fighting. And I think I had an epiphany moment, too, about these two ownership groups a little bit earlier today. 713-780-ESPN, HRNP, listener line, Jeremy and Joe featuring Will on ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2. You know what's happening right now in the property tax world? They keep going up. It's not going to stop either. These property taxes are just going to continue to climb, and it's a headache. It's a headache being a property owner. It's a headache being a homeowner, and it's also daunting, right? Like, you don't want to sit there and go to the county and track permits and go to these hearings and maybe hire lawyers and confusing rules, inconsistent appraisers. No, that's a waste of time, probably. Way too much of a hassle. You don't have the time to do that, but do you have 3 minutes? If you do, if you have 3 minutes and you want to save money on your property taxes, just head to ownwell.com right now. You fill out a few information, and they're going to be in your corner fighting for you to lower your property taxes just like that. They'll email you every step along the way. How do you know so much about Ownwell? I used them last year. I did this. I went online, ownwell.com, filled in my information, took me 3 minutes, easy bake oven. I set it, and I forget it, and I didn't look at it ever since. I didn't look at it again. But they emailed me every step along the way. They said, here you go. Here's how much you're saving. And it's risk-free, and you don't pay until they save you money, too. You only pay at the very end once they've saved you the money. So you're not adulting the right way if you don't do this. Harris County, listen to these numbers. Ownwell delivered an average net savings of 21 to 51% higher than competitors. How nice is that? Montgomery County, my neck of the woods, 250,000 to 500,000 range. Ownwell achieved a 94% success rate and a $349 per successful protest figure versus the market's 81% success rate and 231 average. So Ownwell's superior than all of the competitors as well. New customers can expect to save $774 a year by signing up, 88% success rate, and they've lowered property taxes for more than 500,000 Texans. You can be one of them. Be like me. That's something you never said before, but it should be here because you're not doing it the right way if you're not saving money on your property taxes. Do not wait. Deadline to protest May 15th for most counties. Save money on your property taxes with Ownwell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes at ownwell.com. That's ownwell.com, and let them know Branham sent you when you complete your sign up at ownwell.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Just when I thought I got him to fall in love with Tennessee.
is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
A lot of people think Ella Langley sings the song. It's really Amy Adams Skunk, the owner of the Tennessee Titans. She's the singer of the song. At least she wrote the song.
I thought
I got to choose Tennessee. But he chose Texas over me. All of our listeners have. What do you think of their new kits?
I like them. I mean, I think they're smooth. I don't know, they're not perfect. You can find some. I think they're really, really good looking, and I think that Houston blue looks sharp.
I like it, too. I love that you're calling it Houston blue. That's such a rage-baiting word to use.
I got a text from someone over there in tennis with the Titans just laughing and being like, are you kidding me? Yeah. I'm like, bro, you think I'm not going to poke and prod at this?
So we'll be the right blue, though, because I think people are all using the wrong language for this. Like, you use Houston blue, which I admire. I respect that. I see what you're doing there. Older fans, and I'm sure that Nashville fans are going to want you to call it Love You Blue. It's really Columbia Blue.
I was going to say Columbia or Carolina, right?
They called it Columbia Blue back in the Oiler days. I don't know what they're calling it now, but Columbia Blue is the original Oiler Blue. So, like, that's the irony of, like, the Adams and the Titans. Like, oh, no, they're stealing, you know, Houston sports are stealing our blue. You stole it from Columbia. Like, you're not the ownership of a color. It wasn't even your color. It was Columbia Blue, and everybody knew that. So I always find that to be a little bit funny. But and Titans fans and Texans fans are arguing, as they often will, anytime you bring up the whole Oiler thing. And I think what I learned today, the epiphany moment that I had, I'm good that Adams left. I believe that the Texans and Houston Pro Football in the city is in better shape now and is trending in a better direction and projecting in a better direction than it would be if Amy Adams Skunk was the ownership.
That's a great point.
In Houston. So, like, give me Callan Hanna over Amy Adams Skunk. So it stinks, like, to live through the Bud Adams moving the Oilers to Tennessee, and, like, that sucked. Like, it was sad. You were mad. There was the fear that you weren't going to get an expansion team. It was a miracle that you did, quite frankly. Like, they chose Houston over L.A. and did not want to do that. They didn't want to choose Houston over L.A., but the L.A. pitch was so bad. Like, here you go, Bob. We have to give it to you because the L.A. pitch is so bad. So you had to live through those nervous moments of maybe not having NFL football in Houston. So, like, that wasn't a great time. Dealing with an expansion team, that's tough because you're not going to be good in a while. The Easterby Cully era, like, that stinks. They were off. There was a laughingstock of the organization. But where the Texans are now, thank you, Hannah McNair. Thank you, D'Amico Ryans, for setting this culture that you have. I would much rather take control of the Houston Texans organization than the Tennessee Titans organization. So, in a roundabout way, and it took a lot of years to get here, I'm happy that Bud Adams moved the Oilers out of Houston.
As we sit here in a snapshot, I don't think I disagree, but the Titans have been to a Super Bowl.
Sure, that was a long time ago, like that, yeah. And it was also with a bunch of Houston Oilers. They did it with McNair and George and Wycheck. And look, it's not an argument of history. Like, there's no way I can sit here and say the Houston Texans have a better history than the Tennessee Titans. I can't say that. Although the Titans don't have great history either. The Titans also have subpar history. The Titans also have one of the worst histories in the NFL. Is it better than the Texans? Congratulations, you're the tallest midget. But it's not a conversation of who has the best history. It's which ownership group do you have more faith in going forward? From this present moment going forward, I'll concede the history. Titans history better than the Texans history. Titans history still subpar. But which ownership group do you have more faith in over the next 10 years?
McNair's.
Over the next 20 years? That's where I'm
no
at.
Doubt. No doubt.
So, like,
I don't
you
think
actually,
it's really a question.
It took a long time to get there. It took a lot of heartache. It took a lot of feelings, a lot of emotions, madness, sadness, anger, nervousness, because you weren't sure you're going to get another organization. But I rather have the McNair ownership. Kind of hard to believe that I'm saying that with Cal McNair, who I look up to as an inspirational leader. But I would take the McNairs over the Adams Skunks, and I don't hesitate saying that.
I will say, though, we are not exactly – where we sit right now, I agree wholeheartedly. But we're not far off from that Easterby era and what we went through there and the Bill O'Brien
Shout
era.
Shout out to the fish.
Like, it's pretty recent. Now, the last recent decision between the two franchises that was the worst was by far firing Mike Vrabel. You fired arguably the best coach in the NFL for whatever reason, had no answer. Now you're on your second coach since him. So, like, the Titans are now trying to figure that whole mess out. So I agree, but it's not like the Texans are just absolved of their recent poor decisions, and maybe could make some coming down the stretch here because there's some big ones with C.J. Stroud.
Sure. Yeah, I think those are sidebar conversations, though.
Well, it's just potentially like what could derail a franchise to
no
where
doubt.
You're like, oh, crap.
Yeah, no doubt. But if, like, I was arguing with Titans fans today, and their comeback is always like, well, your history sucks.
Fine. Whatever.
Cool. Your history slightly better than the Texans, who are an expansion franchise. Newest owner, newest team in the NFL, right? There hasn't been an expansion team since the Texans?
No.
So they're the newest organization in all of football. So congratulations, you are dunking on the newest organization in football, saying that you have a better history than them. And all of the highlights of your history was on the back of Houston. Yes, you got to a Super Bowl, but Steve McNair was drafted by the Houston Oilers. Eddie George was drafted by the Houston Oilers. Jeff Fisher was still your head coach who was hired by the Houston Oilers. So, like, yeah, congratulations. And, like, I get that you own all that history, whatever. This isn't an argument, though, of saying the Texans have a better history than the Titans. Your history is better. It's still one of the worst in the NFL. This is all about going forward. Like, if you were just, like, let's just say that you were a new person on planet Earth, you got placed onto planet Earth, and you were given the option of being a football fan for either the Titans or the Texans. And you give, you know, you can learn the history about the organizations. You can learn the ownership tendencies, all of that. You had to bet your life on who is going to be better going forward. I'm betting my life on the McNairs over the Amy Adams Skunks.
1,000% every single time. I mean, I agree wholeheartedly. And they have not only that, but they have the head coach in the building. And that matters. And they potentially have the quarterback in the building. Both franchises trying to figure out that quarterback spot, though, kind of simultaneously.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of this is Amy Adams recently. Like, how do you fire Vrabel? Like,
that's a wild decision. I mean, yeah. that is such a bad decision. It's not even like I'm trying to think of an equivalent of it. Like, Marvin Lewis had a lot of success in Cincinnati, but it kind of just ran out. So, okay. Vrabel got a bad team to a good spot year in, year out. They had an identity, which is so hard to build when you have bad players. And as soon as he was fired, he was the biggest name on the block, and now here he is back in the Super Bowl.
Very, very dumb. 713-780 ESPN HRMP listener line. Junkie says, I hated the Oilers color scheme as a kid here,
Junkie.
But I love the U of H uniforms with it. And the fact that it drives those clowns in Nashville crazy. It is kind of funny. I don't know if I said it or not, but I do like the Titans' new uniforms. Like,
I agree. Yeah, we both said it. How do you dislike the Oilers but like the same color scheme that the Cougars use?
It's probably personal feelings, you know.
It's the same exact colors, though.
Right. It's just like I don't want – like, you know, people's decisions don't often get based on what they actually like. There's, like, outside influences that change your decisions based on things. Like, you could place option A, option B. They could be the same exact things. But if you have multiple reasons to get to option A that you don't like, multiple reasons to get to option B that you do like, you're going to like option B over option A, even though at the end of the day it's the same exact thing.
So weird.
Yeah, it's psychology.
Lack of intellectual integrity bothers me. Like, having intellectual honesty about, like, what's going on here.
Same. Yeah, same. Hard same. 713-780-ESP. I'll get your thoughts on this. Texans, Titans at war. Also, I have evidence, Will, that the Texans are babying C.J. Stroud.
Stroud!
I don't know how people are going to feel about this. I really don't. I feel like I'm uncovering it. I feel like I'm being a journalist, and I hate being a journalist. I have to sometimes, out of necessity. I hate doing it. I kind of feel like I'm doing it here. 713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe, Will in for Joe. ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. You know what I want right now? Especially I've been gone from the city for a couple of days. I'm craving it. I'm jonesing it. In the FederalGrill.com, Federal American Grill, FederalGrill.com, the website where you can order all the time. Great for lunch. You know, a lot of people go to the third parties. Like, hey, third party, I'm going to go here and I'm going to order it. You're going to end up getting upcharged. Why would you do that? Just go straight to FederalGrill.com, order online, lunch, dinner, anytime in between, and enjoy their fantastic food. Little takeout, little order online without the middleman. And it's fantastic food, too. You're never going to get a bad bite at Federal American Grill. It is always good. It is always great. Dinner options are always fantastic, but I haven't talked about the social hour options here in a little bit. Social hour from 3 to 7 every single day. Great spot on a Friday, by the way. 3 to 7, you cut off work a little bit early, go to social hour for 4 hours. Maybe you're working a full day. You can't go until 6. Well, that's why it's 4 hours long. That window is wide. From 3 to 7, you can get $10 appetizers, handcrafted drink specials, and they are fantastic. A few of the bites you can get during the federal social hour. Fried green tomatoes. Who doesn't love that down here at the South? Some sticky ribs, truffle fries. Who doesn't love a good fry? And a ton of drink specials, too. They got the beers for you, obviously. They got the Smirnoff Martinis, Maker's Mark Old Fashioned. So take advantage of that at Federal American Grill. Their four-hour social hour every single day. $10 apps, handcrafted drink specials. Don't forget about the Easter brunch. The Easter brunch at Federal American Grill, fantastic. Reserve your spot now. Five locations to choose from. My spot up in the Woodlands. Hedwig Village as well. Katy, Shepherd, downtown location. They're all great. You're going to love it. Federal American Grill, where precision cooking meets quality ingredients and a tribute to classic American cuisine.
This is ESPN 97.5.
I'm freezing outside. I feel my skin tight. My heart is inside. When I look up at you, I check your pain right. But when you're in tonight, tell me when is the next time I'll run into you.
Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
713-780-ESPN. Will in for Joe today. Jeremy and Joe. They're still getting in my comments, these Titans fans. Titans fans are so sensitive. They're so insecure. Well, our history's better than yours. Cool story, man. Ocho, Prairie View got me off to a good betting start. Now, North Texas is looking good for me at Moneyline plus 278. Ocho saying it's in his college basketball plays. You know what? I'm going to sweat that with you, Ocho. I got the TV on in my room. I was watching the SEC conference tournament. Vanderbilt leads Tennessee by 2, 20 and a half seconds left to go in the half. You know what, Ocho? I'm going to sweat that game with you. ESPN2, North Texas is on. Their head coach, a former U of H assistant. I'm in with you, Ocho. I'm sweating with you. Junkie says, I take back what I said. Give BMAC the ox. So they're kind of in and out on you a little bit today, BMAC. Some like, some hate. This guy,
I think that
likes,
might have been an attempt at reverse psychology, though, to try to get.
I don't think so.
Because they know your natural reaction is to be opposite of me, despite what others have said in the past. So I think they might have been trying to.
I don't think that's the case here. No, okay. I'm great at reading tone, especially through text. I think it's very easy to read tone through text. I don't think that is happening here. I think they're being sincere.
That they hate him.
Definitely Twitch hates me for sure.
No, I don't think that this comment was insincere, though. I think that this was a sincere comment. I really do. I've been wrong many times, rarely, but I've been wrong a couple of times. So maybe I'm wrong here, but I don't think so. I really don't. Titans fans are a bunch of soft boys. They had a choice word in the middle of that, too. The Titans' new T logo looks like a contraceptive. I saw pictures of that going on the internet. Did you see that?
I did not.
It kind of does look like it. Also kind of looks like the Tesla logo.
The Tesla logo.
I saw Stressons post that.
Once I saw the Tesla. Once
I don't mind the logo, though. I really don't. I think they upgraded tremendously. I mean that, too. I know that I'm fighting with Titans fans right now. I like the new jerseys. I like the logo. I think it's very good.
Well, which one? You like the? I love the jerseys. I love the uniforms. I think the logo, the circle T, is very bland and boring.
I think it's a huge upgrade, though, is my point. Like, I'm with you that it's kind of blandish, but I think it's a huge upgrade over what they had. They had some, like, flair on the old T. Like, it was outdated. So I think that they upgraded there, too.
I don't think they upgraded, but I didn't hate the last one. I didn't dislike it as much as you did. Logo,
like,
it's a lateral move at best. It's a lateral move at best.
Like, the old logo had the same exact shape. It was beveled. It's not beveled anymore, which beveling's kind of out. I'm a fashion aficionado. I know a thing or two about fashion. The bevel's been out for a decade. Like, that was in the previous millennium. But then you had the flames coming
the flames
off of the Titan
is what's
circle.
Bad about it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like that, it's like Detroit Pistons basketball. Like their old, remember the old Pistons logo?
Yeah, with the fire coming out of the exhaust.
That's what it looks like. Like, it's so ugly. Whenever they created the logo, it was in. Like, flames were like in style. It's just that it's 20 years old by now. So I think it's an up. Is it bland? Yes. But I also like simplicity. I'm a keep it simple, stupid kind of guy. So I like the simple. I'm a very simple-minded man.
I do, too. I like simple because when you get too much into the weeds of that stuff, you overdo it and you ruin it. But I just think this is too boring. Like, I love Penn State's uniforms. I think they're iconic, yeah, and they're great. And I just think this tee is just – I just don't like it.
Can you think the new Titans look is boring, but love the Penn State look? Like, it's literally just blue and white. There's nothing on the uniform.
I think it's a logo specifically. I think it's talking about
just
logo
the logo.
The logo's not even on the helmets,
the circle
though.
T. What isn't?
Tennessee.
Oh, Penn State.
Yeah, I'm talking about Penn State's uniforms.
Like,
they don't even put the logo on it.
It's like clean, simple, but there's an iconicness to it that I really, really like, of course. It's like
the blue and white. The Titans uniforms, though, right?
Yes, love the Titan uniforms. I just don't like the Titans logo. Yeah. The T.
You're talking about
the logo, I just think
independent.
I don't even know that it's a font, but the T, it's really, really, really bad. It kind of looks like it's done in paint.
Drop the Microsoft.
It does look
like
the Tesla logo. To be fair, though, this is the same T that the Titans had previously. The T's not different. It's just they got rid of the bevel and they made it white.
But
so it's not like they copied Tesla. Tesla copied them because this logo was around before Tesla.
Well, kind of. You know, I actually had this conversation with someone else on X, is that the Tesla came up after the Titans, but the Tesla logo, this is more Tesla-y than the last one. The beveling made that T an object, like a dagger. Now it doesn't look like that at all. Like the non-bevel. It's the same T, but if you take
the
beveling out, then it takes away what the T is like supposed to be. Like it's supposed to be like a T and a dagger.
I just don't know how you could copy Tesla, though. They had this before Tesla. They just got rid of the bevels.
Well, because it's more of a T than it is a dagger, because now it's no longer that dagger aspect to it. This is such
the lamest conversation we've ever had.
This is so stupid.
You know what it reminds me of? You ever seen the movie The Social Network?
Yes.
The movie about Facebook where Sean Parker walks up to Zuckerberg. He's like, you know what you need to do?
Drop the.
Yeah, that's basically what this is. They're dropping the bevel is what they're doing here.
That whole movie was a psyop and it was all BS, and that the CIA created Facebook in order to track you.
Should I play conspiracy music underneath? Yeah. We're getting into conspiracy.
Crazy enough, there was some sort of program that the CIA was running that ended the same exact day that Facebook was launched.
How much are you buying this? A scale of 1 to 10, 10 being in a high degree of confidence, 1 being a low degree of confidence.
Me?
Yeah, how much are you buying it?
I don't put it past anything that the government's going to track us. Like at least a 7.
Yeah, I just think there's better ways to be tracked.
Fine. You know? They've done some really dumb things.
We have cell phones, you know?
They don't even have to hide it anymore. They just openly track us.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they don't. This was back in 2004?
Yeah,
it sounds
like
right.
Homeland Security. If it was post 9/11, then they really didn't need to do it to track us. Because once they passed the Homeland Security, the Patriot Act, I mean, they could spy on us however they wanted legally. So, and I've talked about this all the time. I don't care that I get spied on. Like, I am not interesting. So, like, you're going to spy on me for, like, 3 seconds, and you're going to turn the channel. Like, you're going to be on to somebody else like that.
I don't disagree that you're boring. I just think that we should never give up the rights that we have, because then you don't get them back. I think you protect those. It's like every time they build a highway, and they're like, we're just going to put the tolls in for 3 years, and then when we pay it off, we'll take the tolls away. Yeah. I have never seen tolls disappear.
How many lives have been saved, though, with the Patriot Act? We'll never know.
Definitely that.
We'll never know. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Coming up next, we'll get to my Stroud protection thing. They're protecting Stroud. It's dangerous. 713-780, kind of in the same mold of this conversation. 713-780-ESPN. Will in for Joe, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2. You know where you can go to get some privacy? Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. You're going to love your time out there. It's fantastic. Escape the rat race. Escape the hustle and bustle of the job. Whatever's causing you stress. You're going to enjoy Mother Nature the way it was intended to be enjoyed out there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. They're always taking care of their visitors as well, always running things, live music almost every weekend, food trucks out there, weekend activities. They always have a theme, too, it seems like. This week, for example, spring break weekend with so many people out on spring break, whether this is spring break week for you or you're getting it started for next week. They also, in a couple of weeks, have this barbecue cook-off weekend. How great does that sound? You get some good barbecue at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. You escape all the hustle and bustle. You're out there enjoying yourself, enjoying nature. And also they got the open green spaces, wildlife, beautiful, majestic trees, some of the best fishing in Texas, two creeks alongside their property, catch and release pond in the middle of their property. You're going to love your time out there, whether you're hiking their 92 acres, kayaking their creeks, playing some pickleball, hanging out at Swampers or at the pool with a cold one. And they got all the stays you could want. They got glamping for you, cabins, treehouse they have. You stay in the treehouse. You walk up the steps, your house is in the tree. Or you can just pull up the RV with their hookup spots for your RVs. Perfect stay for everybody. Book your stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston.